One of those familiar Old Testament stories that we teach to our children is the story of Solomon asking God for great wisdom. And maybe we're familiar with that in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32, that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. We have many of those proverbs in the Bible before us, even today. Well, the book of Proverbs was written for the purpose of imparting wisdom to those who don't have it. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 1 in verses 1 through 6, this is exactly what is said in the text here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So we have several purpose statements here regarding why the book of Proverbs is given. And so it is a treasure trove of wisdom, and we study it with that in mind. But what is wisdom? Sometimes we have used this definition. It is the practical application of knowledge, the truths that pertain to correctly applying what we normally call facts in difficult, demanding, or delicate situations. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom, and I thought tonight we would think about that topic for just a moment. So let's survey, if you would, the Bible doctrine of wisdom. We'll look at the need for wisdom, the source of wisdom, and the character of heavenly wisdom tonight. Well, first of all, there is a great need for wisdom. And some might ask why. Well, for one reason, we don't want to be foolish. We want to show forth the Word of God, living in our lives in a way that is going to demonstrate competency, in a way that's going to demonstrate correct application, in a way that's going to demonstrate that we are living the life that God wants us to live. And if we do foolish things, then certainly people are going to look at our lives and say, well, what is wrong with him or what is wrong with her? Reading through the book of Proverbs, you can see that the fool is condemned repeatedly. And in fact, those who are practicing fools, according to the book of Proverbs, deserve punishment. In Proverbs 9 and verse 6, we read, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." And so we're not to engage in foolish things. In Proverbs 26 and verse 3, it says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back." And so there, another proverb demonstrating how the fool deserves punishment. And so we don't want to be foolish. And that's one reason why we need wisdom. We also need wisdom to get along in this world. You know, the world is complicated, and there are a lot of issues and problems. And people try to communicate on a daily basis about a lot of very complicated things. And wisdom helps us to understand how to get along in the world. The book of Proverbs doesn't just address moral matters per se. It also addresses very practical things like how one is to deal with one's animals in taking care of them, how to make sure that you have a good crop and you grow things properly. There's all kinds of nuggets of wisdom in the Proverbs about other matters. And we need wisdom to understand business transactions. We need wisdom to deal with people who live in the world around us. We need wisdom to understand how things work in this world. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." And so the idea there is to show us that those who are outside of the body of Christ are individuals with which we must have interactions on occasion. And in those interactions, we are to walk in wisdom and use wisdom in a way that's going to be productive, in a way that is going to maintain good relationships as best we can. Matthew 10 and verse 16, Jesus said this, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Wise as serpents. Think about that for a minute. In other words, you understand how all of the things people think about work, but yet you don't participate in those evil activities, and you don't participate in things that are unwise and foolish, but you understand it. You see how they do things, but then in your actions as a Christian, you don't take that serpent-y wisdom, so to speak, and implement it, but rather you behave in a harmless way toward those who are without. Be wise as serpents. Understand what's really going on out there, but yet don't let that be what drives your life. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, there, this psalm is attributed to Moses. And there, this is a prayer that was uttered in the wilderness regarding so many that died there. And verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Thinking about wisdom in relationship to the length of our life and how to spend our time and what we need to be working on. Wisdom is super important in that regard. And then let's note Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 12 through 21 here. A very good passage having to do with wisdom. And here, wisdom is personified. In other words, wisdom is speaking to us and trying to show us what life with her is like. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." And so wisdom will accompany us and help us in life if we listen to her. And so wisdom should be desired above all earthly things. Proverbs 8 and verse 11 says, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be devised are not to be compared to it. Proverbs 16, verse 16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? And Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, just think about all the things that people want and all the things that they go after to get. And they get this and they get that and they have all of these things, and yet they end up lacking wisdom. There's a real deficiency there, a real problem that needs to be addressed. They haven't sought their priorities properly. Because wisdom is the principal thing, the Bible says. Think about that. So wisdom is to be desired. There's a great need for wisdom in this world, and we need to have it. But then secondly, the Bible talks about the source of wisdom. And of course, the source of wisdom is God. He is the one who is responsible for all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Job 38 and verse 36 says, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Excuse me. Or who has given understanding to the heart? These are rhetorical questions that God is asking Job. And there's only one answer. God has given wisdom. God has put understanding in the heart. He is the one responsible for wisdom. And so if we want wisdom, we need to go to God for it. The greatest source of wisdom in this world is this book right here, the Bible. And studying the Bible will give one tremendous wisdom and tremendous insight into the behavior of other people, tremendous knowledge in regard to how the world works and how God works and what God expects out of us, and tremendous examples of how men have behaved in the past, and their both their bad behavior and their good behavior, and what kind of consequences ensue from those behaviors. That's wisdom, and that is found in the Word of God. Solomon was given miraculous wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29 says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. We should not expect wisdom to come to us in that way, that is, miraculously, just overnight, as Solomon literally got it overnight, right? So that's not how we should expect it. Paul talks about a miraculous wisdom in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's a miraculous wisdom that some people in the New Testament church received during the age of miracles. But we don't receive wisdom that way today, in a miraculous way, that is, without study or without experience or without our own knowledge, that God just pops that into our heads, you know, miraculously. That's not really how it works. But James does say that if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for it. James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And someone says, well, how does God give us that wisdom? Well, ask him, and then you may find out how he does that. And then you can come and tell your stories of how you got wisdom. I know there's some wisdom that I've gotten over the years that have come mainly through experiences and things, situations that I found myself in that I'm sure God had a hand in helping me to understand and to learn more about how this world works. So God gives wisdom. But that verse in James doesn't say how God does it. It just states the fact of it. Wisdom comes through the Word, as we mentioned earlier, and that is the greatest source of wisdom that we have today. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 that we read just a moment ago says that the purpose of the Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction. So if you ask God for wisdom, then open up the book of Proverbs and read through it and learn a little bit about wisdom. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, there the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said about him that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to do what? Make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so studying the Holy Scriptures were able to make Timothy wise, specifically unto salvation. And if you desire wisdom about salvation, then study the Holy Scriptures, because they're able to make you wise unto salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16, there, Peter wrote these words, "An account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." And so here, Peter is talking about Paul and the wisdom that God had given Paul, miraculous wisdom, I would say, in that regard. But notice what he says next, that miraculous wisdom that God gave Paul has been written unto you. Now that's important, because what does that tell us? That we can have the same wisdom that Paul had by doing what? By reading what Paul wrote, right? God gave Paul that wisdom, and then Paul wrote it so that we could have it. That's tremendous. You see, wisdom comes through God's word today, the vast majority of it. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 6 and 7, Paul says these words. He says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And so we see that there is a wisdom that the world does not have that's revealed in the Bible. And of course, that wisdom is the knowledge of God through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And so God is the source of all wisdom. In the Bible, sometimes he gives wisdom miraculously, and then sometimes he gives it through an agent in a non-miraculous way, like Paul or Solomon or some other. And then we can have the same wisdom that was given miraculously to the one that God worked directly with. And so the Bible is a great source of wisdom. And then finally this evening, let's look at the character of wisdom. You know, we ought to be wise in things that are good and not in things that are evil. So Romans chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you be wise unto that which is good and simple," simple concerning evil. We need to develop our wisdom in things that are good. And what does that mean? That means we've got to be spending our time thinking about good things. You know, wisdom is developed as we study and as we grow, as we get new experiences and learn from those experiences on how to apply God's wisdom to our life. And then sometimes we fail and we don't do things the way that we should. And as a result of that, we learn lessons. And from those lessons, we get more wisdom. And wisdom continues to grow and to grow. But if we will spend our time thinking about good things, not thinking about evil things, then we will grow in wisdom and we'll understand more how to live our lives in a way that is going to be productive and useful and helpful, beneficial and good and holy and honest and decent and all of those wonderful things that we appreciate so much in other people when they interact with us. That's how we want to be also. Wise in things that are good. And then we want to be wise in good works. Think about James 3 and verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom." Who is a wise person? Who is endued with knowledge? It's that one who's going to demonstrate it by his life. And there's another way to get wisdom. Go find someone who has lived life, who has a tremendous amount of wisdom, and watch how he operates. Follow his good example. Look at the way he behaves himself and comports his actions and behaviors. And then learn wisdom. And so it's out of that good way of living that we see meekness of wisdom. And then James chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So think about this whole list of qualities and characteristics of wisdom. You know, wisdom is good. Wisdom has good works. But now wisdom has this whole host of additional characteristics. It's pure. That is, it's unmixed with other things. It is peaceable. Wisdom is not confrontational. Wisdom is not combative. Wisdom seeks to have peace and to resolve things with others. It is gentle. It's not forceful. It's not heavy-handed. It's not acting in a way that's going to be rough. It's gentle. It is easy to be entreated. You know, there's some people in this world that are easy to be entreated. And what does that mean? It means that you can have a conversation with them. And they really like to have a conversation with you too. Easy to be entreated. Easy to ask. Easy to work with. Easy to get along with. Those are wise people. It's full of mercy. Wise people are full of mercy because they recognize the need for mercy in their lives also. And they want to show mercy so that they can receive mercy. Wise people are merciful. Wise people have good fruits. What is that? Good fruits. That means that they're doing the Lord's work in their life. You can see by what they are doing that they are pursuing God's will in a very personal and individual way. They don't leave it up to the preacher to do the job. They don't leave it up to the elders to do the job. They don't leave it up to the deacons or to the rest of the members. They take the Lord's work very personally and they say, I'm going to do that work myself. They are full of good fruits. And they are without partiality. Wisdom is without partiality. In other words, it doesn't take sides. It doesn't try to please one person or another because they have some kind of benefit that they may offer. Or, on the other hand, it doesn't try to ignore one because maybe they don't have anything to offer. No, wisdom is going to treat everyone the same without partiality and without hypocrisy. In other words, a wise person is going to recognize when he says something or does something that is out of character with who he is. And he's going to avoid saying that, avoid doing that, and not get involved in hypocritical behavior. So that's wisdom. That's what James says, that wisdom from above is. And we need to think about these characteristics of wisdom here so that we might learn how to put them into work within our lives. Let's look at another passage from Proverbs, and then the lesson will be yours this evening. Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 32 through 36. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. So let's love wisdom, and let's let wisdom live within our lives. Let's seek wisdom. We need wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, and we need to put it into practice in our everyday life. Maybe tonight you need more wisdom in your life. Well, one thing that you can be more wise in like Timothy was wise in, was the ways of salvation. And God's salvation is through Jesus Christ, as Paul said Timothy was wise to. And Timothy knew that in order to become a child of God and be saved, you need to hear the word of God and believe it. Repent of sin, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's what made him wise unto salvation. He studied those scriptures, and he learned and obeyed the truth. Perhaps you need to do that tonight to start your journey of wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you need prayers for wisdom. Tonight would be a great time to ask God for more wisdom in your life. If that's what you need, then we stand ready to help you this evening, whatever your need may be, while together we stand and while we sing.